chapter 22. And so if you have a Bible and want to turn there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 14. Where it records for us that when the hour came, Jesus reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it, For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this. And divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you, and is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. I was reading this yesterday, looking through Luke's Gospel for actually different material, but I came across this record of the Last Supper. And it's a striking one because particularly there in verse 20, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about the significance of these elements and having encourage them to drink from the cup. He tells them that this cup is poured out for you as a new covenant in my blood. He's talking about the most significant act of atonement, the only true act that saves sinners, his blood poured out for us. And then right in the next sentence, he says, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. And I was thinking, you know, there are times when teachers are distracted. I don't know if you've ever tried to teach maybe something profound and something is distracting you. Something that's going on with the students or in the environment is making it hard for you to concentrate. And I can only imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to be trying to speak the significance of what he intends and plans and knows the Father has planned for him to do. And he's trying to institute this remembrance and say the bread represents my body and the cup represents my blood. And in that very moment, not even off to the side, but right there with him at the table is Judas. And he knows that Judas will betray him. He knows as well that Peter will deny knowing him. He knows because he tells the disciples in other gospels that all of them will desert him and be scattered because of what is going to happen in just perhaps a few hours in that night as he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I have to imagine that one of the temptations that Jesus must have faced would have been the temptation to despair, to think, what's the point of all this? All of my teaching, over and over again, he had reminded them about the purpose of his coming. He had spoken about the suffering that he would endure, and they didn't catch on. Even just in this record, at the table, he's saying to them that he's going to suffer. But there's no indication that they've really caught on to what he's going to endure. And I guess my thought was that I'm so thankful that Jesus, in spite of everything that was going on that night, in spite of all of the heartbreak and disappointment and frustration and disillusionment that we must believe he experienced, that he remained focused on the task that his Father had given for him to do. And it's because of Jesus' willingness to endure in doing the Father's will, to be humble enough to not just throw up his hands and say, "What's the point of this? No one even really knows what I'm doing. And all of these people that I've poured my life into for 3 years or more are going to abandon me anyway." And somehow, in spite of all of that, Jesus offered his body to be abused, and he offered his blood and his very life to be poured out for sinners. I suppose the comfort for us this morning in that might be something like this, that at times we feel as though our lives, our behavior, our attitude, actions, words, thoughts have somehow betrayed the significance of the death of Jesus, that our own sin has so blatantly dishonored what God did for us, that if we were God, if we were Jesus, we would probably disqualify ourselves and say, "I died for certain sinners, but not for sinners like that. Not for people who are so dim-witted. Not for people who are so stubborn and persistent. Not for people who are so trapped in sin." And yet the gospel records that Jesus died for these, his apostles, gathered around the table as they conspired to betray him, as they bravely said that they would not deny him, and yet he knew they would. And even as he anticipated their desertion, he willingly died for them. And so there's nothing. There is no sin that you could commit, no persistence in disobedience that you could sustain that would disqualify you from what Jesus has done to reconcile us to God. And so I want to invite us to remember this unbelievable sacrifice, that while we were yet sinners, while we were still rebels, Christ died for us. The way we do that here is to come to this table, and I think we can have some music playing while we do that. And so I invite you to come, take both a cup and some bread back with you to your place, and then in a few moments I'll come and lead us together as we participate in communion. Well, I think Jesus, as much as he chose a very simple way for us to remember his death, he chose something that's very profound. Because we eat and drink to stay alive, don't we? And Jesus said, "My body and my blood given for you, this is your life. And so when you eat, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I've done." And that's what we're confessing. In other words, we're saying that it's true in that sense of confessing, that our life is found in Jesus, who gave himself for us, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Paul said that when we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We make a testimony that we believe that life is found in Jesus, who gave himself for us and shed his blood for our sins. And so let's partake together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave yourself for us. we were reminded in Luke's gospel that in the very moment when you were teaching your apostles the significance of this remembrance, right there with you was Judas. And beside him were all the others who would desert you and deny knowing you. Thank you that even though you must have been so discouraged that you were focused on what the Father had sent you to do. Thank you for the reminder this morning that our sin is never so great that it overpowers what you have done at the cross, and that where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Thank you that you are life for us, that when we come to you in faith, relying on you and your death for a new life, that you never let us down. Help us to glorify you. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.